Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss.
Yeah.
Dustin the Great. And Country the Fabulous.
He said fabulous.
I felt like I needed to give you a little extra something there, Country.
You deserve it.
Yeah, he really does deserve it. We got a great show for you guys tonight. There's a lot of excitement in the room. There's fun, exciting things coming your way. We just wrapped up the 1010XL main event last week, and boy, do we have a fun story. Who won the 1010XL main event?
So the winner, they agreed to a chop, first and second place chopped, and the actual winner is Howard Holcomb. Congratulations, Howard. But the second place winner in
the
chops, so they did kind of a chip chop. So they got, Howard took home $5,500. And guess who got second?
Tell me a bounty.
In the agreement, he got to keep his own bounty.
Nice.
Attaboy, Danny Thompson.
Danny Thompson. Yep. We love it. So congratulations. That's pretty awesome.
Faded a massive field.
Yes.
Massive field, 354 people.
That was not a record, though, right? The
record is like 360 something, but we were supposed to have this.
Remember, that was the hurricane,
right?
That was the hurricane.
There was supposed to be a hurricane or this tropical storm or some name of Elsa or something was supposed to be coming through wrecking our fun. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
No fun was wrecked. 354 entrants. So it was a great field. Great job, Danny. Denny.
Yep.
Great job, Denny. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Got to keep his own
super
bounty,
exciting.
Chop it up.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about that is Prosser final tabled event, right? As a bounty. I took second in one of the events as a bounty. Denny has now taken second. I don't know that any of the bounties have ever won the event. I don't think,
I recall. I feel like that guy, Alan.
Did Alan win one?
Won one once.
Oh, he might have.
I feel like Alan Lutz, a.k.a. Friday Night Alan, Professor Poker.
The man with so many names that people are like, wait, is this all the same person?
Shatner. Come on, you're listening. You know you're listening. I think he won one once.
He might have. If he did, I feel like he's going to let us know here at any moment. If you guys were in the 1010XL event, maybe you have a fun hand story. I'll tell you, there were some weird things that happened. So we're going to have some stories about the 1010 event that that was last week. Some interesting hand situations, some spots where people played hands that you know, didn't make any sense the way that the hand played out.
Sure. It's a fun tournament. I don't think they care.
It's so much fun. Yeah, it's a great time. So if you were part of the event, if you were part of the tournament, you have a hand you want to share, maybe you have a great bust out story that you want to share with us or talk about how one of the bounties donked off their chips or, you know, whatever that looks like. 641-1010 is the phone number. You can call us. And as it turns out, you can also text us. So we have the text line open. If you want to chat with us, but you don't feel like calling in, you can also text us at 641-1010 as well. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in terms of relevancy in the poker world, and then we'll dive into kind of our bust-out stories because I don't like to lead in with all the negative stuff, right? So guess what has been announced? The WSOP European Circuit. So
the
now
European
we have...
European Circuit.
Yep, so now we have the World Series of Poker coming up here for us in, last day of August is the first event, is that right?
Say that again.
Last day of August. August 30th is the first WSOP event.
No, last day of September.
Last day of September, excuse me. So last day of September. And it sounds like you guys might, in fact, be sending some more people to the World Series this year.
We are. This just in, not even on the calendars yet or hitting the airwaves, but We are going to run a small satellite at Orange Park the middle of September.
Mm-hmm.
That will probably just be a one-seat guarantee, something like that. And then about a five-seat guarantee, which will probably produce about 10 seats, in all honesty, in Jacksonville towards the end of September. And it'll be similar to what we've done in the past where I think it's a $580 buy-in, $100 rebuys, and the packages will be worth $13,000. That being a $10,000 entry into this year's World Series of Poker at the Rio in Las Vegas, which takes place November 4th through 17th, for the lucky few, plus $3,000 in travel expenses. So you'll get $3,000 right away, and then all you got to do is make it to Vegas, and your entry is already there.
You just got to get to Vegas.
Yeah, but you got $3,000 to get there.
You should be able to get there with that. If you can't get there with that, then we need to have a conversation, and you probably shouldn't be playing the main event because we have other problems that need to be addressed first.
That's right. And if you, follow our website, obviously, bestbetjacks.com, we'll have the September calendar up at some point, and we'll have the that information up. But that's what it'll be. There'll be satellites into that satellite, obviously. We'll give away lots of high hands, lots of promotions. For some $120 satellites to win your way into the 580s. And then you get in there for next to nothing.
That's perfect.
We want you guys to go. You guys, we want to put locals there.
Right. 100%. And we want lots of locals.
It's
lots and
so lots and much lots of fun locals. To have our local players and people that, that we, our friends, our family, right? Like our poker family. Like that's what I consider it to be, is our poker family, those of you who are here in Jacksonville. And to have anybody in another area playing any tournament is always fun to sweat, right? It's fun to see them go on and be successful in other places outside of their home state, especially when we're talking about the World Series of Poker. So this is, it's such a great event. It's a fun time. It's really amazing to be able to send people there. And it really, everybody kind of gets into it, and it's a lot of fun to be able to sweat here, sweat there, and see.
And the night before the main event, we'll have a party somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
probably at the center bar at the Rio again, where we can all get together. We can talk some strategy. I'll give everybody a swag, best bet swag, so everybody's outfitted. We'll get everybody pumped up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Have some drinks, have a good time,
and hopefully somebody,
Las Vegas style.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. We had Tony Miles who takes second, so maybe we can have somebody who takes first. There was, I saw, I think it was one of the Venetian events. There was a Jacksonville player who won one of the Venetian events just in the last couple of days.
Really,
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, I'll try to find it when we're on break, and I can't remember the kid's name, but younger kid.
And it's a lot of work for us out in Vegas when we're trying to follow and update everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tony Miles won, it was a ton of work because he made it all the way down to second.
Right.
But that's what we want to do.
Yeah, we want to work.
It was amazing. It was a great time.
There was never a break.
There was never a break, no.
Yeah,
except they played, for so long.
Heads up,
people were passed out in the Rio, like literally
on
luggage on top of tables. There was just stuff spread out everywhere. People were like unpacking their luggage and making pallets to lay on in the middle.
They're like, I guess we can't leave yet.
Right. And it's funny because nobody can go anywhere because they're heads up.
Right.
Yes.
So the tournament could end any second. Mm-hmm. And it just went for hours and hours.
Forever.
And hours.
Like 10 hours, I think.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. Yeah, that was the most tired I think I've been in a long time. Well, Daniel Negreanu, speaking of people who have won tournaments, Daniel Negreanu just cinched a win. The $50,000 high roller picks up $700,000. So now, listen to this. This is the first win that he has picked up in 8 years. Okay?
I read that and I thought, wow, that is really hard to believe.
It's a long time. So Daniel Negreanu, 6 World Series of Poker bracelets, 2 WPT titles. He is the third largest career tournament earnings in terms of poker players in the history of poker. He has been stuck in a live tournament drought for almost 8 years. His last title was October 24th, 2013, when he won the WSOP Europe High Roller event for over $1 million. He's cashed 144 times since that. In 8 years, cashed 144 times for $22 million.
He had a couple of big second place finishes.
Yeah,
I remember
that's
those.
Strong.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. When you think like, yeah. oh, you can't make money if you're not winning tournaments. And yes, I know he plays a lot of high rollers. And so that makes a difference in terms of like, you know, how much money he's winning. But still to lock up $22 million and never take home a title in 8 years is pretty good.
So he's won $22 million in the last 8 years?
In the last 8 years.
Without ever taking first place. He had a couple of big seconds. I think he had a big run in the one drop also.
That's pretty strong, though.
Super strong.
Yeah, it's amazing.
GT Jack in the chat says he won, got it in with eights versus King King and sucked out.
Oh, juicy.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, you got to win a couple.
You Whatever. Do.
Yeah. 4.5-1. That's not that big.
So real quick, if you are a college student, I thought that this was really kind of cool. The World College Poker 2021 Championship main event, which starts July 24th. They have four rounds, looks like, that you play. They have teamed up with PokerStars.net, and you can play for free if you are 18 years or older and you have a student ID. And that means are eligible to play whether you are at a university, whether you're at a college, or even a Votech school, which I thought was really cool. Because I don't know if that's always been the case in the past. But yeah, if you're even just at a Votech school, then you're also eligible to play. There's a lot of really cool prizes here. I mean, you can win time to play with certain coaches, Jonathan Little. There's trips. There is one of the biggest ones is a European Poker Tour package, which is valued at over $8,000. Lots of travel and lots of stuff, but it's really cool that they've partnered with PokerStars because that means it makes it really big. So this is the first time that they've ever held this event It's been global, which is pretty remarkable. So I'll be curious to see how many players they get. The one thing that that is kind of fun is players from Spain, Italy, Portugal, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and New Jersey are not eligible to participate due to local regulations. So I'm wondering, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and New Jersey, is that because PokerStars is already there as like PokerStars.com?
You know, that's a good question, but I don't think so because I don't think they're in Michigan.
I wouldn't think so either, but I can't figure out what it would be that would keep somebody from playing a free tournament that's on a .net site.
I don't know. That's very interesting.
In those three states. So we're going to put the boss on that, make him. You're in charge of figuring out what the answer to that is.
Oops.
Well, we got a lot of fun for you guys tonight. Some interesting stories that are running through Florida. In fact, lawsuits against the Seminole Tribe. We're going to talk about that. What does that look like?
Get 'em.
We're going to talk about the 1-2 PLO game that was completely and totally insane.
Totally off the chain.
Totally wild. Off the chain
wild
on the live stream.
Crazy bananas. And off the chain. Totally. Yeah. It's like everybody was just totally crazy. All of them.
Yes. And it's like, live stream, like, so you can go back and watch it.
Yeah, it was like they had never been dealt four cards before. They just didn't. They
wow,
lost their
four
minds.
Cards.
They're
let's
like,
go.
I can make so many hands. I can make so many hands.
Like, I don't even know what's going on. Just get
it's
all
like
the
nobody
money
cared
in.
Either.
They nobody
just,
cared.
It was just it was,
reload.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's try it again.
Yeah. It was incredible.
So we got that going on. Plus, there's some fun stories about misreading of hands, misreading of boards, and what that leads to. We have $50 tournament vouchers to give away. And I got to tell you my bust out story from the 1010XL main event because it would not be fun if I didn't tell you how I busted out. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, talking all things poker. So the 1010XL main event was last week. We had 350, what'd you say? 356? Is that what it was?
359, right?
354. 354.
354 players. We have a bounty, Denny Thompson, who took second place but chopped for... Did they chop for first place? Is that what happened?
They chopped first and second place. Denny got 5,300, and the eventual winner, Howard Holcomb, congratulations, also got 5,500. Nice job, boys.
Well done, boys. Well done. So, super fun tournament. A couple things happened.
We had a couple ladies up there also, by the way. Octavia, great job in fourth place. Debbie got, I think, 11th.
Debbie
Miller.
Oh, Miss Deb.
Miss Deb got in.
Always
there
pulling for Miss Deb.
At 11th.
I've never heard anybody refer to her as Debbie, so I didn't know who that was.
I was very
like,
random.
I was like, who's Debbie?
Miss Deb. Mistab in there at 11th. Octavia in there at 4th. Yeah, it was a good tournament.
That's awesome. So in the beginning stages, right, sitting and I'm playing, and there was kind of a weird situation that happened in one of the hands with the chips. And I was 100% certain that the pot was not right. You know what I mean? And it's like one of those weird spots where the dealer goes to pull the chips and I go, wait. Everybody's like, no, they were all in for the same amount. And I thought, that's not what happened. Okay. Right? That's definitely not what happened.
Okay.
Because it was like the guy bets, he raises, goes all in, and then this guy goes all in. You know what I mean? And it was like a weird thing, but they ended up having like the exact right amount of chips, or like the guy called like one chip. It was something strange like
something,
that.
It looked strange, exactly, but as it turns out, it was all correct.
But it was correct. And so, but what was interesting is like, as this happens and I'm like, no, it's wrong. Everybody's like, pot's right. Like, we're pretty certain it's right. Say, okay. So we go on, right?
They're like, please stop talking to him.
They're like, just lady.
Hey,
listen.
Crazy lady,
they're
we
like,
got it. Yeah,
the pot's good.
Hey, lady, what do you really know anyway?
Hey, crazy lady, we got it under control. I do this for a living.
Right, and so it turns out that the pot was right, but three times that day, it happened that the pot was wrong, and so, you know, sometimes people get offended and they're bothered if you say the chip count is wrong or the pot is incorrect. So somebody said to me, they were like, is there ever a time where you don't say something if you think it's wrong? And I said, no, you always say something because you're obligated actually, as you're sitting there to actually make actually, sure that you protect the integrity of the game, not correct. Just your money, but everybody's chips, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to win those chips from the other opponent.
And, you know, a lot of things happen. Mistakes happen, a miscount. Somebody doesn't see a chip somewhere. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So anything can happen. Somebody counts it down. It's 675. No, there's another chip there. Oh, it's 775. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. It's not a big deal. Nobody should be offended. But absolutely, it's the player's responsibility to say something if they see an error or a mistake that's about to happen.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to point that out because somebody did say, is there ever a time where you don't say something? I said, no, you should always correct it and make sure for the integrity of the game. And
if you're wrong and they point it out, say, all right, that's cool, no problem.
That's fine.
No big deal.
Yeah. It's better to say something and be incorrect than not say something and it should have been
disaster,
fixed. Yeah, have a big disaster. Head it off before it happens. All right, so let me tell you guys my bust out hand. It was super weird. it was super weird. So
I can't wait.
I'm in the small blind. I have.
That's where all bad stories start.
In the small blind. So I'm in the small blind. I have ace jack. Excuse me, that's wrong. I have ace 10 in the small blind. And it goes limp, limp, limp. The guy in the cutoff limps. So.
Limp, 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 limp.
Yes. So I call. So I have 8-10 offsuit, not ace 10, 8-10 offsuit. I limp, big blind checks. The flop comes 10 high rainbow. It's like 10-6 deuce. Okay. So I check, it checks around. The turn card is an 8.
So you have top two pair.
Do I have top two? Pretty I kind of like my hand.
Pretty good hand. And no limit
text total. There's a 6 on the board also, right?
Yep.
So 7-9 makes a straight. You have top
yep.
two. Got it.
I check. Check, check. The guy in the cutoff bets 1,000. I raise and make it 3,000. Fold, so it's heads up between he and I. He calls, right? The river card's like a brick. It changes absolutely nothing.
Okay.
So I think, well, what can I do here? I'm not going to, I'm going to get some chips in the pot. Well, like I started the hand with like maybe 8,000 or something like that. So I have maybe 5,000 or 6,000 left and the pot's roughly about that. So I'm like, the only thing I can really do here is just stick it in, right? I either get a check, give it to that guy or stuff it or bet some amount. Like, what am I going to do, right? So I go all in.
Okay.
He calls. I'm pretty confident I have the best hand. Turn my hand over, ready to stack the pot, and he rolls over, pocket tens.
Ew.
I was like, ew. And I looked and I thought, wait. I was like,
Okay. How many tents? Oh, all
I was like, all right. And he kind of, it was funny because he looked at me kind of funny, like, uh huh, I got you. I got you. I was like, okay, so I go broke with that hand 100% of the time in every situation. I'm never not going broke with that hand. But here's my question. Why limp with tens in the cutoff?
I have no idea.
Like, why limp? Like, what's the positive there, Justin? Can you think of anything at all other than trapping me with 8-10 and knowing that I'm going to turn two pair against your set?
Yeah, I think it's more... It sounds like more of like a risk adverse thing. Like they just don't want to put too much money in. Like, what if they raise with pocket tens and a jack comes? What do they do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
It sounds more like a pocket tens and get four callers and they get an overcard. Now what?
Yeah. Now what do I do? So it seems more like a risk adverse thing. He just wants to sneak in there and
flop a set.
Yeah. No set, no bet. You know, kind of a risk adverse.
No set, no bet.
No set, no bet. Pump it or dump it.
Top set.
I agree.
Top set with my top two on the tournament.
I agree 100%. The risk adverse thing. I'm sure that's kind of what he was thinking.
Yeah, it's a $100 tournament. You actually see that a lot in the really small stakes cash games. You'll see them limp these crazy hands. You know, like they'll limp with hands as strong as like ace queen, and then like you know you raise ace 10, they limp call, you flop an ace. You're just dumping money in because you're like, oh, I have to have the best hand. And you get to the river and they show you ace queen. And you're like, how did we get here?
Yeah. You're like, what just happened?
Why do you have this hand right now? Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like the same thing happened to you.
That's pretty much what happened.
Ouch.
Yeah. It wasn't fun. So I was out before somebody said, are you going to re-enter? And I was like, no, I'm not going to re-enter. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. Like, you're like, I can still make dinner.
Yeah. Like literally.
Yeah. You were out early this time.
Well, and I was there playing cash before.
Yeah.
And cash game was great. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. And I think that, you know, I feel like we've been talking about this since the pandemic. And I think I've shifted, which is I think I prefer playing cash now over tournaments. I always loved playing tournaments.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah.
Like I've been saying it for years and years and years.
Now I'm like, I'd rather play cash.
Yeah. You know, I like to play both. It's much better to play cash than tournaments.
Yeah.
There's so many more pluses to cash.
Absolutely.
Tournaments are fun, and it's fun to take a shot at tournaments. And it's fun to win them when you know, because you get that big big payday. And it's a different kind of spirit of competition. You know, it's a long, drawn-out grind. But cash is the way to go.
Yeah.
You come and go when you want.
If you play that hand in a cash game, you just go, whatever, it doesn't matter, and you reload. You go, ooh, gross, whatever.
Yeah,
and you
whatever,
just pull black chips out of your pocket and you reload. It's fine. It doesn't even matter. In a tournament, it
you
stings.
You get up and walk away.
Yeah,
stings. We talk about it for weeks, but... Yeah. In a cash game, you wouldn't even remember that. You might remember it for 5 days, and then it's gone.
Yeah. Then you're like,
Yeah. You just reload. It's fine.
Not in the bank, not drawn interest. Completely forgot about it.
And in a cash game, you can lose that hand and still make money in your session. In a tournament, you have to go to your house where you live.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And make dinner.
Dwell on it.
Make dinner.
The case 10? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice hand. Yeah. Nice answer. Nice hand. If you're listening, nice hand. At any rate, so that's what happened there. Well, I know you guys did not play, so we don't have any hands for you to talk about. But the 1-2 PLO game that was on, was it the following day? Was it Thursday? Tournament was Wednesday.
It was Friday night.
It was Friday night. So Friday night cash game, the live stream, the PLO game. Talk to me about that. I mean, that game was insanity.
We're going to have to do that again.
I'm going to tell you this. In the first three hands we had, maybe in the first two hands, it might have been the first hand, actually, we had... A $1,600 pot. Somebody in the chat set the line, the over-under, for the biggest pot of the night at like 14-something right out of the gate. And I was like, oh, yeah, that seems fair. Everyone's in for about 500. Yeah, that seems fair. We hit it in like three hands.
First hand.
Like, yeah, first, second, maybe third hand. There's like a $1,600 pot.
You're like, what is happening
I was
here?
Like, wow, we're going to have to up this line. So then somebody makes the line like 2250 or like 2450. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's reasonable. Sounds good. Smashed it.
About like two hands later.
About an hour into the stream. Yeah. Smashed it. So somebody's like, I guess we'll make the line like 4K. I'm like, this
Smash
is crazy. This is a 1-2 PLO game.
People are so people are buying into this game generally when you play 1-2 PLO. I mean, you're looking at buying in for like around 300. I guess what people are probably buying in for, right? Like,
yeah, more
on
like
average.
Five to 1,000.
There's no cap on the game, so... Buy in for whatever you want. It's pot limit.
You know, we've talked about this a lot too, and it kind of depends on your buy-in strategy for pot limit. You can kind of do it either way. You can buy in small and kind of try to martingale your buy-ins, or you can just come in for a pile and try to have everyone dominate it. It kind of depends on your initial strategy, but there was a good mix of both. So there were some guys that buy in for 300, lose it, buy in for 600, lose it. Now they buy in for 1,000. So there was a lot of money in the game. Needless to say, we smashed the 4K line.
Yeah, I saw that one.
The biggest pot of the night was like a $6,000 pot.
Wow.
At 1-2 PLO.
It's nuts.
That's insane. And every single hand.
That's 3,000 big blinds.
Was crazy.
That's 3,000 big blinds.
3,000 big blinds.
Hey, I won a 3,000 big blind pot today.
When can you ever say that in Hold'em?
What?
Have you ever said that in Hold'em? I don't think I've ever said that in Hold'em. Only PLO.
Probably not.
Only PLO. Because everyone always has equity in PLO. It doesn't matter. They get it all in four or five ways.
You have a chance somehow.
You have a chance.
So the craziest
or they
game.
They think they have a chance anyway.
So how many people were playing in the PLO game that were novice players? All of them? Was the game just crazy? Is that what was driving it
eight.
That way?
Eight of them.
Define novice.
No,
if you mean like
don't...
the first time they've ever played, the
no.
answer would be zero. If
yeah,
you mean
no, no, no.
Unstudied players. Probably at least six, possibly seven.
But even the studied players were just going wild.
Gambling, just you know, pot,
even
pot,
if there
pot.
Was a non-novice player, they were just there to play that night, man. There was something in the
Absolutely.
Air. They just
Jack 7-3-4 single suit pot.
Pot, repot, call.
Yep.
So is this one of the games, like you mentioned something about, there was a tweet that somebody sent out earlier, excuse me, that was talking about PLO and said, I'm stuck piles in this game and somebody's playing three cards face up.
Yeah.
Same type of game?
Absolutely.
Similar game, yeah. I don't remember who said that. That was one of the blogger guys, Brad or Andrew. One of those guys said that. It was a funny tweet.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a picture of the guy with three cards face up. He goes, I'm stuck piles. This guy's playing with three cards face up.
But it doesn't matter in PLO. When you can play a game that you can win a 3,000 big blind pot, it doesn't matter how stuck you are.
Right. You can get even.
Yeah, you can get even. The guy who actually
more stuck.
The guy that actually came out the winner in the game was stuck, I think, about
stuck the most.
4,500 at one point. Stuck somewhere around 5K.
He was
stuck. I mean, I feel like if you go
stuck
home.
5K in a 1-2 game and ended up being a 4K plus winner.
He was stuck 5K and then he won the 6K pot, and so now he's in the black. And so then he got on a little bit of a heater, and yeah, he ended up winning like 3.5 or 4K, something like
that. Wow.
I mean, it's just
insane.
Crazy. Yeah,
it was insane.
It's totally crazy. I feel like I should go in and play that game. I don't run out of PLO player, though.
Well, bring the weekend wallet. You're
going
to need it.
Literally, everybody's so they're like, oh, there's a great 1-2 PLO game, Allie, go play that. And like, you know, I mean, I know how to play PLO, but I don't play PLO, so I'm not a studied player. I would have to go in and like, really study and I want to learn the game. But I feel like that game is not the game.
You don't even need your cards.
That's a game just to have fun. And
My phone was on fire that night. I almost had to turn it off. So many people texting me saying, how do I get in this game?
Yeah.
Do you want a piece of my action? I'll be in Jacksonville next time you have this game. This is incredible. I can't believe that guy just put 1,100 in with no pair, no draw.
And you're like, I can't believe it either, but it's happening.
Shout out to the dealers, too. Kirk and Jacob, they ran an awesome game. I told Jesse earlier, every time that the action tracker keeps track of the individual, like the amount of the pot, and every time somebody said pot in that game, Kirk and Jacob were all over it, and it was exactly what the action tracker said.
Yeah, I watched for a while.
Shout out
like
to
I
those
said,
guys.
They did a great job.
Yeah. The thing would say 503, somebody would say pot. Jacob or Kirk would be like, it's 503.
That's awesome.
Yeah. One time I saw him be like, it's 575. And he was like, oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It's 475. but he was spot on.
Yeah. They did a great job. So,
well, it's good to know you guys produce the best dealers. Fantastic. All right. So the PLO game was off the chain. The 1010XL tournament, if you want to see how Denny did, you guys can check out those live streams or archived. You can find them on YouTube channel. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Twitch. Any of those platforms, you can pull up and watch any of the archived streams. You can study them. You can learn from them. But definitely, if you have never seen a crazy 1-2 PLO game, definitely make sure you watch that stream from this past Friday night. And if you'd like to learn how to play PLO, this is definitely a stream that you can watch and see exactly what not to do.
100%.
Yes. What you don't do in PLO, that's what you study from it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about misreading your hands. What happens when you misread your hand or misidentify what the board is and or your opponent's hand? and maybe relinquish the pot when you in fact have the best hand. Plus, we have that $50 tournament voucher to give away. That and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. We're talking poker, and we're talking making mistakes in poker now. So we have all, or most of us, I will say, if you have not been in a situation where you have misread your hand, misread the board, or misread your opponent's hand, you have not been playing enough poker.
Very true.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It should have happened to everyone at some point during the time that you have played. And if it has not, then you need to immediately get in your car and drive to either Best Bet Jacksonville or Best Bet Orange Park and get in the ring.
Yeah, and you definitely don't need to feel bad if this ever happened to you. If you're a new player and you know, some of these stories I was going to tell about misreading your hands. If that ever happened to you, it really has happened to everybody.
Yes.
To the point where the greatest players in the world. There's a video of Phil Ivey playing, is it a stud hand or a hold'em hand? I don't know where he just folds the best hand. And everybody's like, what just happened there? He just misread his hand. And
because he's playing on like a stream table or something. Yeah. And they can see his whole cards and they're like, oh, he just folds the nuts.
And then later on he admitted, he goes, yeah, you know, whatever. Messed up.
Yeah.
And, Will Fala, who's a solid tournament player, played more tournaments than, you know, most people in history, mucked two pair on our WPT televised final table.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he just misread his hand. And I think it was Tony Dunst turned over his cards, tabled one pair. Will Fala looked at his cards. Two pair? Nope.
Muffin. the fact that he looked at them again.
He looked at them. He looked at his hand.
Not once, but twice.
And mucked it. And he didn't know for 30 minutes because it was a 30-minute delay. It was live streamed and televised. So 30 minutes later, somebody called him and told him. And the commentators, Vince and Mike, are like, ooh, looks like Will just figured out he mucked two pair.
Just see him on the delay. Somebody tells him on the sideline.
His head's just exploding.
Talk about Max Payne.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So it happens to everybody, but anyway.
Yeah.
Not me, of course. Everybody else.
No, it happened to me one time. I misread my hand. I was playing at Orange Park, in fact, and I thought I turned two pair. And I never rechecked my whole cards. And I played the hand like I had two pair. I check raise a turn. I make this huge bet on the river. The guy's like so uncomfortable. I mean, I'll never forget. He stands up out of his seat. He's like, what is, he's just out of his mind. He can't believe that it's possible that I could have a better hand. How am I betting? None of it makes any sense to him. Takes a long time. And he finally is like, I can't. And he calls, right? And I just rip my hand open. I don't say anything, but I rip it open with authority, right? Like, bam, two pair.
The victory rip.
The victory rip, right?
Victory rip, yeah. You snap it open.
Snap it open like I got the best hand.
Yeah.
And he's standing and he looks over and he's looking down and he goes, what? What? And I go, oh, and I immediately realize and I don't say anything.
Yeah, you got to keep it stoic.
I'm not going to say a word,
you stay
right?
Stoic.
I'm just like, whoop, there it is, a pair of sevens.
Like, that's my hand right there. One pair of sevens.
That's what I got, a pair of sevens. And he goes, and he's looking and he can't believe it. And then he turns his hand over and he has the best hand. And then he goes, oh, he's like, you know, all these kids. He's like, all these guys watching poker on TV. Think you come in here knowing how to play, trying to do all
whippersnappers.
That's literally what he did. So he's like berating me for playing my hand so terribly. Meanwhile, I don't have the heart to tell this poor guy that, like, I misread my hand, bro. Like, I thought I had two pair. Technically, you're the guy who made a bad call. Like, you know, but it was really funny. And so that was one of the times that I misread my hand.
That's really great.
Yeah.
It's happened to me three times in two sessions, which is why this topic came up earlier. Three
wow.
times in two sessions, I've seen misread hands and or boards. It actually... I've been on both sides of it, and I saw one of my really close friends misread a board yesterday and muck a big hand. The funniest one that happened to me, I think, they're both kind of funny, but yesterday I'm playing, I'm in the big blind, I look down at my hand. I have queen five offsuit, right? And there's one caller. He limps the button and the small blind folds. So we go heads up to the flop. The flop comes queen, queen, queen. I go, sick. Flop trips or flop quads. Awesome. Check. Guy checks. The turn is a red four. I check and the guy bets 10 into 10. I call. The river comes a king of diamonds. So I bet 40 into 20 and the guy tank folds. And I go to turn over my cards to show quads because you just show quads. And I look down and I have 7-5 offsuit.
You're not like, even, I don't even not have even one close. Of the cards.
Not even close.
Not only do I not have quads, I don't even have
pair. I don't even have anything. I'm playing the board, basically. I have quad queens with a king. I'm playing the board, basically. So I look down, I go, oh, whoa. And so I just snap full and I win the pot. And I told my friend, I was like, hey, you're never going to believe what just happened. I thought I had quads. I totally didn't. He was like, you convinced me you had quads. He goes, I thought you had quads. He's like, it's fine. So that
that's
was
the best part though. Is like, when you, that's what's funny. Cause it's that same thing. Like you play the hand and you're playing it like you're representing something very specific because that's what you think you have. That's exactly what happened 100%. To me with the two pair. That's why I was like the guy, it's like, you don't have the heart to tell him like, actually you made a terrible call. Cause really I have two pair while I don't.
I went to do the victory rip. I went to victory rip the quads and I started doing it. I saw a 7 and a 5 and I went, ooh, that none of those cards match the board cards.
Turns out I'm not victory ripping this hand.
Yeah. So I put in the muck and, you know, the opposite end of it, it kind of happened to me. And this is kind of a good lesson to double check, but it folds to me in the cutoff. I have ace jack, raise ace jack, and only the big blind calls. So we go to the flop, heads up. The flop comes ace, ace, queen. The guy's kind of a maniac, so he checks the flop. I check the flop because I know he'll just go off on the turn. So the turn comes a king, and he barrels. I call. The river comes, like it completes a flush and a straight, like a jack of diamonds. Somehow like the flush and the straight gets there, something weird. He checks, I check. He turns over king, queen, offsuit. I have ace jack, so I have three aces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it couldn't have come a jack. I would have had a full house. Either way, the board card was very coordinated, and I didn't make a full house. So he turns over king, queen. I look over, and I swear that he has pocket queens. I just look over, and I go, wow, he has queen. He flopped queens full. I'm like, that's a really weird way to play queens full. And I muck my hand, and as my hand is being pulled into the muck, I double check, and I realize he has king, queen. I go, oh, that's a king.
I just mucked the winner.
Yeah, and it's literally as the dealer's like pushing the cards into the muck, and so there's just no time to even try to stop it. And even if I did, it would be too late. I didn't table my hand. I just had to let that one slide as cool as I possibly could, but it was agonizing inside.
I mean, it's tough, right? Like, so let me ask you this. So you don't say anything because we talk about like holding your composure. You don't want people to know, right? Yeah. I mean, you
can tell somebody, I don't want anyone to know I'm dumb enough to fold that.
You're not going to tell them right there in the moment, right? Yeah. You could talk about it later, but you're not going to tell them at that time.
Yeah.
So, at what point do you actually, like, if your cards are retrievable, do you go diving for them to stop the muck from happening?
Yeah, if they would have been retrievable, I definitely would have spoken up, for sure.
Yeah.
But they weren't. It was too late. But because I looked at his hand, I went, oh, weird, pocket queens. That's a weird way to play pocket queens. And then I folded, and then as the dealer's scooping my hands, I realized he has king, queen. And by that time, it was just too late. It was just way too late. But then when I went back through and I worked through the hand in my head, I went, he just never, ever, ever has pocket queens here. Like, it makes no sense. He would have 3-bet preflop. He probably would have gone for some kind of value at some point during the hand. It was just, none of it made sense for it to ever be pocket queens. And so I folded the best hand. And it got scooped and it went in the muck. Was it a big pot? No, fortunately it was a small pot. But, you know, I was having a losing session and every pot counts when you're losing.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It was you know, it was probably $100 pot, close to it.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it stung. So the lesson is always double check. Some people will say just open your cards every time. I don't think that's the best advice.
Because, I don't either.
Really strong players will find out and use that information against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like learning where you bet, where you don't bet, how you, you know, what you value, what you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think turning over your cards every time is the best advice, but you should definitely be double checking your opponent's cards before you muck.
You need to make sure you're turning them over when you are in fact winning the pot.
It was embarrassing.
That's the most important piece.
If you're not sure, always just turn your cards over.
Yes. If you're not sure.
I was sure. I was sure he had two queens.
Yeah.
I was sure he had two queens. I'm pretty good about it. I was sure he had two queens when I threw my cards in the muck. And sure enough, he didn't. He had three pair. He had aces and kings and queens.
It's like I was sure in the 10-10 tournament when that guy went all in that the pot was not right. I was sure. I was like, there's no way the pot's right. Everybody at the table was 100% sure, and I was 100% sure. We were both saying something completely different, which is, you know, that's why you always double check. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that it just happens.
It's sometimes. Like you said, if you haven't done it, you haven't played enough poker.
Yeah, if you haven't done it, you haven't played enough poker.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's ever been a spot, like how many times have you misread the board? Oh, like for instance, in a situation where maybe the board, so say you're on like a flush draw, right?
Yeah, I misread the board a ton.
Say you're on a flush draw
a ton.
And you're in a, yeah. And
I
you're
do it all the time.
Literally every time I play. And you're on a flush draw and you're so focused and caught up on making a flush that you actually back into a straight and don't realize that it happens.
Right. That's usually
that happens pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Or you don't realize that the board, in fact, straightens out or flushes out.
Sometimes you'll miss the flush and you'll turn over a straight and you go, I got you. The guy turns over two clubs and you're like, what? What is that?
Or even one club.
Yeah, and you're like, I didn't even realize.
One club, you're like, ooh, a flush. Gotcha. Yeah.
Or when the board actually, you know, let's say the board comes, you make an ace high straight on the board and you don't, you miss it. And a guy bets and you just
Broadway.
Yeah.
There is a lesson in that. You know, everybody says, why would you bet? You're just going to chop it up. If there's an ace high straight on the board and it's checked to you, you always should
bet. You always should bet.
100%.
Because a lot of times people don't realize they miss it.
Right.
I mean, it happens all the time where somebody, it even goes like check, even at like showdown, right? Or bet call and at showdown and somebody turns their hand over and they're like straight. And the guy's like, how do you make a straight? Because maybe you have an ace in your hand, right?
Right.
And so they don't realize it or a king or whatever the weird card is. And they miss the fact the straight is actually on the board. And so while you have a straight and then they go nice hand and then they throw their hand in the muck.
Right. Also, one more lesson. If there's a straight on the board, you do still have to turn your cards over.
Yes.
So you have to show two cards to win the pot and hold them. You can't just say, yeah, I got the same straight and expect to get paid.
Mm-hmm. So, you also cannot just show one card that completes a straight. Like if an 8 makes the straight, if it's 6, 7,
right,
9, 10.
You have to show both cards.
You cannot just show one card. You have to show both of your cards.
You have to show both cards.
You have to show both your cards. And just do it. It speeds up the game. Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Nobody just cares. We need to see both.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take our final break. But when we come back, we got that $50 tournament voucher to give away. We'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right, as promised, we have that $50 tournament voucher for a lucky caller tonight. We will take caller number 5, 641-1010, 641-1010. Caller number 5, you will get a $50 tournament voucher that you can use at either location for any tournament that you'd like to play. So, lots of things going on. 1010XL main event we just wrapped up, but the 12 days of Christmas, it's all about cash right now. So 2 days ago, you guys kicked off the first huge high hand of the 12 days, right? So $1,200 an hour on the 12th, increasing $100 every day. So we are at $1,400 every hour right now in Jacksonville. Tomorrow will be $1,500, and we'll continue on that trend until we hit the 24th.
23.
Excuse me, 23rd. So there'll be $2,300 every hour in Jacksonville. So obviously cash in Jacksonville. Now's the time to be playing. What else is happening, boss? What else is coming up going on? We got WPT coming up in August.
We have WPT coming up in August. It's going to be a great series. We have a high roller. We already have two people. Congratulations. I don't have your names in front of me, but we already have two people that won satellites into that 25K high roller. You want to play something really cool, win a high hand, win a seat, get a satellite, play the satellites into the high roller, and find a way to min cash that for $75,000. That's a good story. Or just win it for a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, and speaking of the high roller, by request, one of your guys' players, Kitty Koo, who plays on Live at the Bike, and she lives out west and is really awesome, comes out here for WPT events, has been a bounty several times. She reached out and wants to have a cash live stream. So there's going to be a $25.50 cash game on the 25th. Is that right?
25th, yeah.
The 25th. So $25.50, no limit hold'em, cash live stream game. So if that's something you want to participate in, play in, that's going to be a good spot to be. So World Poker Tour, lots of tournaments, lots of cash, 12 days of Christmas, lots of high hands.
Yeah, there's a GoPro coming up this month, Orange Park on the 24th. There's all kinds of stuff.
You can find all your information at bestbetjacks.com. That's where you're going to get it. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. The Sports Den with Denny Thompson, the myth, the man, the legend who won the last 1010XL main event is joining you here as soon as we wrap up. That's going to do it for us tonight. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.